So here we go again. Hello, this is Your Politics, RTE's weekly politics programme from the bowels of Leinster House. Joining me on this, it's a wet and rainy Thursday, isn't
filthy.
It? Yes, Paul filthy Cunningham, dirty. Sandra Hurley and Fiacra O'Kioni. And Paul, this time next Tuesday, yes, it'll all be over bar the voting.
Yes, and we're going to have the big budget, the fifth budget of this coalition, and we've got some indication as to what they're going to do in relation to taxation, in relation to spending. So an awful lot of it is already out there. But let's be honest, there's a few more kites to be flown, particularly over the weekend. There's always some secrets in relation to the budget, and the opposition are also getting out themselves. Today we had both Sinn Féin, the Social Democrats. Tomorrow, I think it's Labour coming out. So there'll be a frenzy of budget activity. But what's interesting about it is the dynamic is that once the announcement is made in the Dáil, usually earlier than it used to be in the good old days, by 9 o'clock, it's over. And even the following day, the newspapers have moved on. So it's a very quick cycle. It's a sort of a flash in the pan, a one-day wonder, and then pop, it's over.
It's not the spectacle it used to be. But what's also interesting this year, Sandra, apart from being earlier, our main politicians, they've been busy over at the UN General Assembly in New York all week. There's still a lot of decisions to be taken. So there's going to be a lot of trading to go on this weekend.
Yes, we understand there's a lot of meetings happening over the next couple of days. There's meetings every day with the spending minister, Pascal Donoghue, meetings with lots of different various line ministers and three party leaders. As you mentioned, we're in New York, some of them hobnobbing with Meryl Streep. Nice photo ops
there. That was Micheál Martin, wasn't it?
That was, I think, delighted to be in her company, learning a lot about Afghanistan. I think it was all serious business. But it's back to realpolitik here in Ireland right now. And there are some points of contention. I noticed over the past few days, there was a real point of difference between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil on who should get these social welfare increases. Heather Humphreys had been out as far back as over the summer as talking about her priorities, you know, hard-pressed families, carers, people with disabilities, elderly people. But she said the long-term unemployed shouldn't get another increase. Micheál Martin this week has said he would push against that, that it has long been agreed between the three party leaders that everybody gets the same rise. So there's definitely big points of contention between the parties that are going to have to be ironed out.
And there are big decisions still to be taken on childcare, which is going to be one of the big issues, Fiacra, in the upcoming general election, whenever that eventually comes around. And still quite a tussle, isn't there, between the parties as to who's getting credit for their policy being the one that finally ends up in Budget 25.
Yeah, well, that's really one of the issues that I always find fascinating about budgets. It's not so much you know, the numbers and the figures involved. It's about who gets the credit and who manages to steal the credit really from some other people. So obviously we see this on childcare. That's going to be a key election issue. Fine Gael and Simon Harris were out 2 months ago having a launch about something to do with childcare. They didn't actually launch anything. They just pointed out what their policies were. Fianna Fáil obviously had been out as well on that issue. But it's not just about childcare and about look on where the priorities would be and where getting credit will be. The residential zoned land tax, which is a big issue for farmers, that's still not quite been resolved. I'm sure the suggestions are that it will be resolved in time for the budget. But for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that's a big issue to keep farmers on side. And obviously for the Green Party, that is an essential point that they need to have in the budget. So those sort of issues are going to be crucial to watch on Tuesday.
And there's going to be an interesting choice to be made. We know that Roderick O'Gorman, the Green Party leader and Minister for Children, that he's been very keen to have a baby payment. We know that Pascal Donoghue from the Department of Public Spending and Reform, he's been arguing against this on the basis of universality. But when you look at, you know, this talk, isn't there, Sandra, of double child benefit payments before Christmas and families expecting an awful lot, and we know from the polls, cost of living are popular. So it's going to be interesting, the balance between targeting, as for instance, Heather Humphreys wanted to do in social welfare, and universal benefits for everybody, one for everybody in the audience.
Yes, I think it would be interesting to add up when we get the cost of living package. We're told at the moment it's 1.5 billion. Could it go higher? That's what we've seen in previous years. It tends to creep up, and the money is there at the moment. It will come out of this year's surplus, so it won't even affect the headline numbers in the budget. But we already know there will be a lot of universal measures. The energy credit, one or two, probably at €250, and then the child benefit, an extra payment before Christmas. We're expecting that. Then you've got targeted measures, things like the social welfare, the weekly payments, the increases in those, and things like the renter's credit, stuff like that. But there is a real tension between those that I think is going to have to play out.
And what are the big points of difference, Fiacra, first of all, with the Sinn Féin alternative budget proposal?
Well, Sinn Féin's alternative budget proposal, you know, it was launched this morning, and really, you know, it's kind of accusing government of a giveaway budget. Their big proposal, their big push, and they were pushing this at the weekend as well. It just happened to leak out to a lot of media outlets, including our own, at the weekend, is the USC, so the Universal Social Charge, that was meant to be in, of course, as a temporary measure more than a decade ago, back in the depths of the recession, and it's remained the whole time. Sinn Féin has said, look, they're going to remove it completely for anything under €45,000 a year, and then they'll have a staged removal after that over the next couple of years. Now, Sinn Féin says they're doing what government promised to do in previous elections and still haven't done. So that's one of the key push points for Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin and government, and particularly Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, are also, you know, at loggerheads really in terms of housing policy, in terms of how many affordable houses would be put forward, and, you know, what
and
policies.
The
And the Help to Buy scheme as well, whether it will stay or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, the public expectations of a giveaway are pretty high. But if you look at what Jack Chambers has been talking about, Paul, for instance, on taxation, I mean, you got 800 more out of last year's budget. They're talking about 1,000 more out of this year's budget for every worker. Balance that, on the other hand, with government overspending and the inflation and the impact on households. So will there be an electoral bonus for a big giveaway budget?
I think the hope from the government parties is that there's going to be enough there. They don't expect that someone's going to wake up the day after the budget and say, my financial problems are over. Just that little sense that things are getting better, that incrementally over the past 5 years, things have worked out for us. But if you're looking at, say, Sinn Féin, they'll be going to say, this claim by government parties that the average family actually saved €1,000 isn't actually true, because it depends how you define average. And they're saying they are shifting their budget in relation to the USC to try and help those who are weakest in society and benefit the most. And then you've got a tax credit issue as well. So I think there's enough of a difference within the tax policies for there to be a good old row on budget day. And because the budget is connected to the election, whether it's November or March, that voters will have a real difference of approach on taxation, also in relation to housing, about what way they believe the country should be run.
And of course, the economists have been talking, you know, warning about government breaching its own spending limits. There's warning about the narrowing of the tax base. And the more that politicians cut taxes, the more the base is narrowed. So we're very reliant in income taxes on the high earners, aren't we? And we're very reliant, obviously, on the corporation taxes.
But yeah, I'll just jump in there, because the Social Democrats also had their budget out today. And one of the things they're talking about is going back to a principle that whoever is better in society pays more, that you shouldn't be cutting tax just generally to make people feel better. What you should have is you pay tax and you get a better service. So their focus has been on sort of the firm implementation of things like Sláintecare, which means that there, I think it's €1.5 billion they want to put into the health service. But they say by having step-down facilities, health is going to actually become cheaper. So you do, again, have a different focus of attention by a political party. Sorry.
And actually mentioning health, that's actually interesting, because one of the controversies of budgets over the past couple of years, and again, the Fiscal Advisory Council has been raising its eyebrows over this one, is the amount of money allocated to the health budget, the fact that it's perennially under budget. So is it being allocated the right amount in the first place?
Yes, I think that will be interesting to watch over the next few days, because we know last year the department didn't get, the minister didn't get what he was looking for. It was a good deal less, and they're dealing with demographic pressures and inflation. And in recent years, they've always had to have this kind of bailout payment later in the year. And that's not any way to run. A bailout payment. Let's rename it here. And the Secretary General, Robert Watt, has been before a committee saying, you know, this is no way to do business. I mean, he agrees that, he expects that they should get the full allocation. They should sort of own up to and accept that this is what it costs to run the department, rather than having this sort of system where every year they get less than they actually need, and then they need the supplementary amount later in the year.
There is also an issue from the health service perspective, and I used to cover health status. You know, this is an issue that has been perennially happening for 15 years, but it used to happen around maybe October, November.
Exactly.
That the budget would be
that they'd start running out.
But now it's in March. Now, when you talk with health officials and you talk with people in hospitals, you know, they say, yes, it is a big problem. Yes, it is that there's more pressure on the system. But it's also about the fact that a lot of administrators sometimes, you know, you say, here is your budget for the year. If you spend that amount of money, you can be nearly guaranteed next year you'll have less money to spend. But if you overspend every year a little bit, you might just keep your budget in place.
Which brings you into the multi-annual funding and all the rest. But there's another question about health that everybody's been talking about this week, and this is the value for money question on health. Because the Children's Hospital Development Board were in before the Oireachtas, and I mean, they have their side of the story. BAM have their side of the story. When are we going to see this hospital, and how much is it going to cost? That's the question we still don't know the answer to, isn't it?
Well, those questions were the two questions that went on in a three-hour meeting of the Oireachtas Health Committee with the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board's Chief Officer, David Gunning, just yesterday. David Gunning was saying, look, he keeps on asking BAM that question, and you know, he was saying he's doing all he can. People like David Cunlan, people like Martin Conway were making the point that, look, nobody will believe you if you say that, June 2025, we'll have it in place. It will come in under 2.2 billion. That in politicians' views and in a lot of voters' views as well, and a lot of listeners' views, this is a runaway budget project. This is a project that may never get off the ground. And that latter point David Gunning was saying yesterday, that, look, that has happened with other hospitals around the world, and it would be a worst case scenario. We're already in a pretty bad scenario with an absolutely bloated cost for this project that was meant to cost 650 million euro and be completed nearly a decade ago. It's now going to cost at least 2.2 billion euro, and there is no guarantee that the latest deadline of June 2025 is going to take place.
Yes, indeed. And Martin Conway, when he was questioning the Hospital Development Board, I mean, he was saying it could be well into 27 and cost 3 billion by the time this is all concluded. That's the question, Paul. Does anyone have a solution to concluding this? For instance, there isn't even, we learned, the plan to run the hospital once it's finally built.
Yeah, the RT's health correspondent, Fergal Barrows, got sight of that report, which raised significant questions in relation to management, although the HSE came back and said they believe they can answer the questions, which were, I think it was KPMG who completed the report. But with regard to the actual hospital itself and just getting it done, it does have that sense of crisis. And I think people are extremely worried. And one of the things that was interesting to note was how opposition parties wanted to pin the blame on the new shiny Taoiseach, Simon Harris, by saying when it came to the contract, because that is the command paper, when it came to the contract, that was signed off by Simon Harris, who said it would work. Now it's not working and we're not able to do anything about it because it's a legal document in which claims are being made in relation to the contract. So sometimes history can come back to bite you, and that's one thing which the opposition parties are going to do again and again, is try to attach Simon Harris's name to that problem.
Yes, it'll be interesting, won't it, during the election campaign to watch that play out between the different parties, because Stephen Donnelly obviously raising the issue of the difficulty of the contract in terms of resolving the issues they're confronting at the moment.
And I think just on that, the Health Committee wants Stephen Donnelly in next, so possibly in 2 weeks' time.
Roisin Shortall, Secretary General of the Department of
Health. Roisin Shortall was very clear on this, that the contractor is accountable to the board is accountable to the minister is accountable to cabinet, and ultimately the Taoiseach's in charge of everything. So yes, it's that point about accountability. Whose fault is this? The opposition would say it goes right to the top. It's on government, and they're going to try and pin it on them as much as possible.
And they say this goes back to the time December 2018 and also early 2019 when Simon Harris was Minister for Health, the cabinet memo and the decision taken within the department. Is that right?
Yes, and he has been asked about this, and he said that he wasn't going to row back on the process at that stage. He was presented with this, we're told this contract was kind of, the hospital was to be built in two stages from, underneath the ground and then from the ground up. He was dealing with the second phase. Maybe this wasn't a fantastic way to do it, but it was certainly underway at that point. But I think he'll, now that he's back in Ireland, he was speaking about it in America, he's going to face more questions about this probably in the Dáil next week.
I do expect, politicians to start talking about how they're never going to again seek to have a state-of-the-art X hospital, whatever the building happens to be, with a life cycle of 30 years. Maybe if you sort of pull back from that ambition and have a grand old hospital for 10 years that you can deliver on time and on budget, that might be a better way of going.
Speaking of Simon Harris and his remarks, quite a reaction to what he said, Sandra, about immigration.
Yes, I thought it was very interesting, his comments in an interview with the Sunday Times and Hugh O'Connell last weekend, because he made that link between rising homelessness and immigration levels in Ireland, people seeking asylum. And it created a lot of ripples, a lot of homeless charities very unhappy with it, saying it's just not true. President Higgins weighed in on it, and the Taoiseach was pushed to clarify it later in America. He spoke about numbers adding to the homeless numbers because they were coming out of direct provision, and they've changed the rules there around people who've been given leave to remain, whether they can stay in state accommodation. But I think the broader point is that this was a very deliberate intervention by the Taoiseach, because he's been taking a tougher line on immigration. That's been clear since April. Mm-hmm. They've been cutting back on benefits, and he wanted to make that link. I don't even think it was a dog whistle, as some people have suggested. You know, it was very overt. It was a very clear and very deliberate link, and it's been continuing a policy that he has put in play now for a few months.
The Social Democrats in particular, they were saying it's not the immigrant, you know, people coming into IPASS and looking for asylum here, that's causing the increase in immigration. The figures for Dublin, I think, are that people leaving direct provision, they're showing up significantly in the Dublin figures, but not nationally. But they were saying the consistent factor in rising homelessness is Fine Gael and government. That's what Holly Cairn said, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly what the opposition say. So it's Social Democrats, Sinn Féin also make the point as well, and Labour to a degree make the point as well that, look, during a consistent rise in the past, I think it's 14 years, almost every year bar one during COVID, there has been a year-on-year rise in the official homelessness figures for Ireland. It was, you know, just over a decade ago, we're somewhere around a region of 5,000 or 6,000. It's now approaching, I think, it's well over 10,000, well over 12,000 at this point. And the opposition and Holly Cairns this week have been making the point that, look, if Simon Harris really wants to address the issue and really wants to get to the nub of it, in their view, Simon Harris basically needs to look in the mirror, and his party needs to look in the mirror about what policies have been put in place to bring down the price of houses, to make houses and properties more affordable for people, and also to address the separate but related issue of the rental issue, and whether people, you know, whether people can have the most basic rights of having a home.
Another thing to watch out for in the budget: what happens to that €800 for people who took Ukrainian refugees into their homes? And some exchanges between Sinn Féin and Roderick O'Gorman over that.
Yeah, the issue of Ukrainians also comes back to the Sunday Times. When they were talking, when the Taoiseach was talking in relation to sort of difficulties in housing, he did mention that the state has taken in, I think it was, 85,000, mm-hmm. I think it was. Mm-hmm. So that was like another pressure. Yeah. So once again, the issue of a review of payments that you're making to people who are coming in is part and parcel of what the government has been saying it's going to do. And this is now leading to further clashes between the opposition and the government. I'm just not sure how far that one is going to go. There is a certain sensitivity in relation to it. In some of the meetings that were happening in New York this week, it related to Ukraine, support for Ukraine. So I think it would be far more difficult for the government to walk back from that stuff. So I don't think that'll become as big a row as the issue of pinning the blame on people who are seeking international protection, because that's a factual issue. And I think when Simon Harris does go into the Dáil, he wasn't in the Dáil today, that's one of the first things that's going to be thrown at him.
Speaking of New York, Uachtaráin na hÉireann, and talk to us about how all that unfolded and what's being said around Leinster House, Sandra. I'll give you that one.
Yes, I think his communications people have had a testing week. He has been hitting the headlines all week, and we think, you know, President Higgins likes going to these big events, going to the General Assembly and meeting world leaders and talking about lofty topics. But he got pretty bogged down starting on Sunday after his main speech. And it seemed to be a mess, sort of all of his own making, where he suggested that his letter congratulating the new leader of Iran, that it was, the suggestion seemed to, that he was making was that it was leaked from the Israeli embassy in Dublin. Now, there was a clarification the next day that he didn't use the word leaked, he'd use the word circulated, but to everybody listening, and when you circulated from, exactly. So the very clear
impression
you could take from that was that he was suggesting that the Israelis had leaked it. Of course, they denied it, said absolutely nothing to do with them. But I think it became quite testy between him and the journalists. And also, it just seemed to be an entire distraction. Why did he end up opening this up and then having to kind of row back on it? It just got very messy, I think, for him.
And didn't it turn out that it was the Iranian Foreign Service that had tweeted out the president's congratulations?
So it was the, we believe, it was the Iranian embassy in Ireland, which had briefly posted it and then taken it down. That was secured by opponents. And it isn't just that the Israelis were criticising the president over the letter. It was also some of the government backbenchers. The criticism was anchored in the fact that he'd written a letter to a president saying, congratulations, and, you know, peace in the Middle East is important. So it was a pro forma letter. The Israelis were saying you should not be pro forma with Iran when Iran is funding Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, when Iran is funding Hamas in Gaza, when it's also backing the Syrian leader as well. So that was the context to it. The government's view was that it was a diplomatic head of state to head of state. But I think in the background, they were wishing it had never happened and that it wasn't being a big, huge row in the middle of New York when they were there to do other stuff.
And just on that, actually, seeing as how you mentioned Iran and Lebanon, I mean, much more serious than all of this is the position of UNIFIL troops, what's happening, the escalating conflict. It looks like a new front opening up in the north of Israel. They could go into Lebanon.
Yeah, we've had heavy bombardment now from the Israeli Air Force. We've had the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and some of the senior military leaders talking about how they have to go into southern Lebanon to defang, to annihilate, whatever word you want to use against Hezbollah. In Israel itself, there was an expression, it's a sort of like a cavalier expression, but that every few years Israel has to go into Lebanon and mow the grass. Mow the lawn.
Yikes.
And this idea that you take out Hezbollah, push back their infrastructure for a while, and then you can get back to normality. And what it seems to be from this government is that they want to do, you know, once and for all, take out Hezbollah. They've done that in 82 and it didn't work. It was the Israeli Prime Minister in 2000 who felt he had to get out of Lebanon because they were just being lost in a crisis. And here we go back again. It really is concerning. And stuck in the middle of it, as you say, you've got the largest deployment of Irish troops, the UNIFIL troops there. They've been there for many, many decades. But this is just one of the worst crises which they're having to deal with.
And Simon Harris, Fiacra, he'll have a chance to talk about all of this with Joe Biden because he's got a trip to Washington coming up.
Yeah, exactly. So we heard a couple of days ago that Simon Harris, if he is still Taoiseach next year, you know, he won't have to wait until Patrick's Day to have his trip to the White House, that he's going to potentially get one next month. So he'll be meeting officially with President Joe Biden to basically celebrate Ireland's and America's long history and long relationship with each other. To be honest, around political circles and around Leinster House, that's not really how this is being seen. This is being seen as Simon Harris potentially ticking a box on his to-do list while he is still Taoiseach and
so
leaving
cynical.
I know. Imagine politicians being cynical about this. But, you know,
leaving
open a very clear potential window for maybe early November. Some people were suggesting late October for a general election here, while also still having the option of going full term, as he insists, up to March, or is it February?
And this is it's the one thing all the TDs are just peppering on, isn't it? The election speculation,
yes.
The timing speculation.
Exactly. We're not stirring it up. You know, they're all talking about it. And Simon
they're asking us when it's happening.
Exactly. Simon Harris was asked about
do you know?
That.
I do. I've nailed
you're
my
just
prediction.
Keeping it to yourself,
just
are you,
saying
Paul?
November the 15th. I think the idea that he's going to, you know, cut and run to the country immediately after the budget, unlikely. I think far more likely that he'll want to get things like the planning bill through. I think he'll call it sort of third week in October, 3 week campaign, November the 15th. I'm sure it'll be proven wrong on November the 16th, but that's my
it's going to be, from his
guess.
Perspective, from the Taoiseach's perspective, this is ideal. They like meeting world leaders. It makes them look statesmanlike. How much cut through it has with the voters, I don't know. I think politicians care about this a lot more. But from the Taoiseach's perspective, this is a win.
Yeah.
These are going to be pictures that he's going to like having out there in, we think, the second week of October.
We haven't mentioned the Leinster House bike shed and hut, isn't it? Bike shelter.
Yes,
is that's the wording, and the Leinster House security office with that beautiful or Trumpian the choice is yours.
I like it.
Curved copper roof.
It actually is a nice building to look at. I mean, visually, it is a beautiful building as
I
was suggested.
1.4
nice
million
to look at them.
Yeah, that's the question.
The Greens' Nessa Harrigan, who also has some knowledge of planning and architecture. She said she was less concerned about that because the Gardaí were involved, the whole rake of people involved. The people can remember that, you know, the gates of the Department of the Taoiseach were rammed. So there's a whole security element.
And apparently
element.
There's a lot of security
exactly.
cabling and hidden stuff and technology stuff that we can't see.
So she said she would like to see the detail, but from, you know, where she was looking, that one sort of, there was nearly an explanation for it. But when it came to the bike shelter, it was just balubas.
Yes, and everyone's wringing their hands now. It's a very handy topic. I mean, speaking of cynicism, is it? She asked innocently. Is it a very handy topic for politicians with an election in the offing?
It is the handiest of handy topics if you're an opposition TD or an opposition centre or an opposition candidate, because all you have to do just to win somebody over is just say, well, it's the bike shed, you know, it's the security hut, and you have a visceral reaction on the doors, which would be angry about somebody else, and you're the person that maybe could replace them, maybe could bring us to Shangri-La and make everything better again. The reality, of course, is this was an OPW spend issue, but it is a real problem for government, and it could be something that could potentially have an impact on when the general election might be called. Because do government politicians really want to be going to the doors, and the first question they're going to be asked about is or the second maybe would be, why did you spend so much money on a bike shed? Sure, I've got one out my back garden.
Shelter.
I've got one out my back garden.
I don't think it matters whether the election is November or February. That question will be raised anyway. So I don't know. Will it impact the timing? I just think it has cut through to the public. We're going to hear about it anyway, because the problem here is the lack of political oversight. The minister at the time didn't have to sign off on these projects, but that is pretty amazing to the public that a project could cost $1.4 million. And there doesn't seem to have been the level of cost control that you would expect.
Mm. Well, at that point, we wrap it all up. We're going to be back with you all again next Tuesday night just to go to...
Exciting.
Yeah, the way of the budget. And we'll talk through all of that with you then. But till then, from all of us to all of you, goodbye.